I guess. Do you understand? And I look for that confirmation right away. The Lord didn't. He said, hey, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then he walked away. And here's what I learned from that, this principle. Sometimes it takes a while to hear. Sometimes the hearing begins when the conversation stops. Sometimes the noise has to stop, the conversation stops, and then the hearing begins later. And you need to understand that if you're a teacher. You don't want to look for, you know, sometimes we look for that. It could come to the altar if you got it. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it takes place over days and weeks and months and years. You know, I learned some things at pastor school a year ago, and I'm still hearing it. And then this year I heard some things there, and I'm still hearing. And God showed me some things in the hearing. The Lord spoke to me in my office 11 years ago about something. And I remember God reading the Bible, and I've said this before, and God said, look at that. And I said, I don't want to look at that because that's different than everything I've been taught. And He said, well, I want you to look at it because it's right here. And I remember the end of that, coming to my knees with tears in my eyes and sorrow in my heart and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to hear from You and I'm going to listen to You instead of these other things that I've been listening to. And that lesson has gotten bigger and brighter and louder, and there's been more facets to it and more things that I've heard along the way. I'm still learning that lesson. I'm still hearing it. Some folks never hear, though. Not every man has an ear to hear. Not every man hears and progresses and grows in their Christian life. And it's not that God's not speaking. It's just that they're not listening. God's speaking, but they're not hearing. Have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they just did not get it? I mean, I have. Look what we're talking about. Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 27. Let's look at a couple verses here. And let's see if we can get this principle. Mark chapter 8 and verse 27. And Jesus went out and His disciples in the towns of Caesarea Philippi. By the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? He wants them to understand who He is and confirm and affirm it to Him that they know. And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say one of the prophets. And He said unto them, in verse 29, whom say ye that I am? And Peter saith unto Him, thou art the Christ. And He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. Now look at this. And He began. Circle that word began. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And He spake that saying openly. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. He didn't get it. He didn't hear it. He heard it, but He didn't hear it. Look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 9. And look at this, Mark chapter 9 and verse 9. And they came down from the mountain, and He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one another what the rising of the dead should mean. Now look at verse 30. He's telling them, but they're not getting it. What's He talking about? In verse 30, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and He would not that any man should know it. Look at verse 31. For He taught His disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day. Look at verse 32. But they understood not that saying. And what's the next part? And we're afraid to ask Him. So you get it. The Lord's trying to tell them something over and over, and they're not getting it. The Lord here is in cross mode now. The Jews have rejected Him. When He raised Lazarus from the dead, they said, "We're going to kill him. If anyone sees him, lay hold on him. We're going to kill him." And from that time, Jesus could no more walk openly among the Jews. And so He had to go from place to place, kind of incognito, undercover. He's in cross mode now. He's going to the cross. The time is at hand. The hour has come where the Lord has to go to the cross. And He's trying to prepare them. He's trying to give them something they need. He needs them to get it, and they're not getting it. Right? Have you ever been there? Now, I want you to imagine, this has been working out pretty well, so we're going to go with this. I want you to imagine that you are going to leave the earth for 3 days and three nights. Okay? And you have some information that you have to give 12 men. And if they don't get it, they're going to mess everything up. I mean, for the last 4,000 years, we have been building to this moment. We gave Adam coats of skins. We made the tabernacle. We made all the sacrifices. We got the ram in the thicket. We didn't accept Isaac as the sacrifice. And all these things have been building to this moment here. You're going to leave the world for 3 days and three nights, and you need these 12 men to get it so they don't mess everything up. You just need them to understand something and get enough information that they're not going to mess everything up for 3 days. And so you go and tell them, but they don't get it. Say, "Listen, I am going to die. I wonder what he's talking about. I'm going to be rejected of the chief priest and I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to die. You got that?" "No. I don't know what he's saying." "Look, guys. Look, this is going to happen. It's going to happen whether you want to or not. And 3 days later, I'm going to..." "Just don't mess everything up for 3 days. You got it?" "I wonder what he's talking about." They didn't have ears to hear. They didn't hear. Why did they not hear? You know, the Lord is trying to get them this, and He's telling them plainly, and because they didn't get it, it hurt them. Didn't it? Well, what happened to Peter? He denied the Lord. What happened to Thomas? He doubted. What happened to all of them when the shepherd was smitten? The flock was scattered. They're hiding for the fear of the Jews. They have great sorrow of heart, and that they've messed a lot of stuff up. They didn't mess everything up, thank the Lord, because they got enough of it. But because they didn't get it, it hurts us. Listen, after you and I have a verse 29 experience, 8:29, where we confess that Jesus is the Christ, and we get saved and we get born again, from that moment on, the Lord is trying to give us information, and He's trying to tell us things that will help us, and if we don't get it, it will hurt us. He tries to start giving you that information, and it's a lifelong journey of Him teaching us things. And if we don't get it, it will hurt us. You know, God's been trying to teach me some things and you some things and all of us some things. He's been trying to teach this church some things for years and years and years. And we're not getting it. I mean, isn't that true? We're just not getting it. And why didn't they get what God was trying to teach them? Why didn't they have ears to hear? Why did they not hear? Why didn't they listen? Why didn't they comprehend? Why didn't they get what... Why don't you get what God's trying to show you? God's trying to show you something. I believe that. Do you believe that? God wants to show you something, and He wants to show you something that will help you. It will keep you from messing everything up. And He wants you to get it. Yeah, I don't know what He means. Why? Pride deafens us. Look at verse 32. And He spake that saying openly. What saying? The 31 thing? Right? Where He's going to suffer and be killed. And He spake that thing openly. And what does Peter do after he hears it the first time? He began to rebuke Him. Listen, isn't that exactly what a prideful person would do? Listen, guys, this is going to happen. No, Lord, let me tell you where you're wrong. Jesus, look. Look, Lord, there's some things you don't understand. And I am here, and I'm going to tell you why you are wrong. What in the world? That was too high. What in the world? Why would you do that? How prideful do we have to be to rebuke the Lord? But you and I do it. This is not what was supposed to happen, Lord. This is not what I had planned. This is not what was supposed to happen. If you're mad at God and you're questioning Him, then He can't teach you anything. The atheists and the people that are mad at God and, if there's a God, why is He letting this happen? He can't teach you anything if you're rebuking Him. And you know what's sad? You know what the Lord was trying to do? He was trying to help them. He was trying to strengthen them. He was trying to give them something they needed to get through a rough patch. He was trying to help them to get through 3 days. You know, a lot of the times God teaches us things that we only need for brief moments in our life. But if we don't get it and learn it in that brief moment, we'll mess everything up. He's trying to give some of the most important information you'll ever get. You'll only need it for 30 seconds here or there. You'll just need it to have a right mindset. But you have to get it. You got to get it. He's trying to help them. He's trying to strengthen them. And He's got enough truth into Peter that when Peter denied Him, he wept bitterly, didn't he? He got enough truth into them that when Thomas saw Him, he believed. He got enough truth into them that when they saw that the tomb was empty, they went before Him into Galilee and met Him there fishing where He told them to meet Him. But you know what, Peter? If he would have listened, maybe he never would have denied. If he listened earlier, maybe he never would have went through that sorrow. And, you know, they're there and they're mocking the Lord and they're whipping Him. And Peter's there and he's warming his hands by the fire. And they said, are you with Him? Who? The guy that's getting beaten? Yeah, isn't that the guy you said that was going to make you a king and take over? Are you with Him? Well, no. I'm not with Him. Why? He didn't hear. His pride got in the way and he couldn't hear what they were trying to say to Him. And because of our pride, you know what we do? We stop asking and we start arguing. Remember where we started off? He said, if any man had ears to hear, they didn't understand, so they asked Him. Here they didn't understand and they didn't ask Him. They began to argue with Him. They considered, you know, the Bible says this. At this point in the Lord's journey, as He's headed to the cross, at this point right here, it starts to get dicey between the Lord and His disciples. Things start to go wrong. They start questioning Him. They stop asking Him. They start keeping things in their heart and talking to one another about things that don't match up. But they stop talking to God about it. You know, the Lord came to, somebody came to Peter and they said to him, does your master pay tribute? And they're like, he's like, yes. And he's like, well, I don't know if he does. And if he's the king, why should he have to pay tribute? And he's thinking about all this, but he doesn't talk to the Lord about it. And so the Lord stopped him and said, hey, here's what's going on with this, Peter. It said they considered not the miracle of the loaves because their heart was hardened. And Jesus told them, hey, guys, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're like, is it because we didn't bring bread that he's telling us this? Like, why is he saying this to us? And he said, why do you not get it? You know, I gave the bread to the Jews and there was 12 baskets left. I gave the bread to the Gentiles and there was 7 baskets left. I have to die because if I die, I'm the bread of life and now everyone can get it instead of just 12. You take the bread and you give it to everyone. How do you not get it? They stopped asking. Things are going wrong because why? Their pride. They're getting too big. You know what they're looking to? They're looking to get big too fast. And they said, instead of saying, look, didn't we just say that you were the Christ? Didn't we just say that you were the Messiah? Then how is it that you're going to die? How are you going to take over the world? And how are we going to rule with you if you're going to die? That doesn't compute with us. Can you help us with that? We don't understand that. But you know what they were too busy doing? Peter was, he was polishing his throne. He said, Jesus, would you just stop talking like this and just hurry up and get on the throne and then give me my throne? Peter was already naming his horses, Dancer and Prancer and Dasher, and Vixen and Dixon. You know what he was already doing? He was already writing out his SOP for his administrative assistant. I would like my coffee at 7 in the morning with steamed heavy whipping cream and 1 Splenda and 1 Stevia. It gets kind of bitter if you mix it up. It's okay. And I want it right here at 7 a.m. Do you understand? And the Lord's like, hey, I'm going to die. Peter's like, no, I have plans. I have big plans for myself, and they include a throne and coffee and an administrative... How dare you say you're going to die? If you die, what happens to my throne? You know what's funny about the mind? Look at 8:31. 8 and verse 31. He said this. He began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He didn't even hear the last part, did he? It's like this. Imagine if you went and told your wife, honey, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to be beaten and I'm going to suffer and these terrible things are going to happen to me and I'm going to die. After 3 days, I'm going to rise again. I mean, they didn't even hear the good news. All he heard was the bad news. You know, people come to me and they say, I have bad news and good news. I'm like, what happened? What went wrong? Tell me. Tell me what happened. What's going on? I don't care about the thing that can improve my life. I only care about the news that can wreck my life. That's all I want to know. I don't even care about the good news. Tell me what is wrong. And they just glossed over the good part because all they could hear about was the bad part and the thing that interfered with what they had because they savored the wrong things. He said, you savor the things that be of men. We hear stuff that we, and the Lord tells us things and He tells us stuff we don't want to hear. Man, I'm sure glad Peter didn't ever get his way. Aren't you? I'm glad that the Lord didn't stop and listen to Peter you know, God's trying to tell you stuff, but because of your pride, you won't hear it because of what you want. Right? You know what the Lord says? She's wrong for you. It's not the right person. She doesn't love the Lord. Look at this, this, and this. Look at all the red flags. I'm praying about it. God already said no. He's not the right person. That's not good. Stop just going forward. Just listen. I'm trying to help you. And you know what we do? We savor what we want And so we go forward. You know, the Lord said in John chapter 16, He said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You know what He said? He said, I go my way and none of you ask me, whither goeth thou? He said, I'm giving you information and you're not asking me. And I even have more stuff to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Here's what I want you to understand. What God's trying to tell you, and you're too prideful to hear, it's actually worse than you think it is. Isn't that helpful? It's worse than you think it is. The Lord says to Peter, He says, listen, I'm going to die. And I'm going to go to the cross. And I'm going to raise again after 3 days. You know what He didn't say to Peter? You are going to get old. And you're not going to be able to walk around. And somebody's going to put clothes on you and take you to a place that you don't want to go. And they're going to kill you there. James, you're going to get your head cut off. John, you're going to the Isle of Patmos. Did He tell them that? Was that the truth? Just get started. You know, the Lord tells us things and He doesn't always tell them to us now because we can't bear them because of our pride and what we have planned for ourselves. And it's too much for us to take. And here's what I want you to think about this morning. What if the people you interacted with this morning were humble enough to receive what you knew about them? What if you could say things to them and they would receive it? Maybe you could say to them, I don't like your hair. Maybe if you would put some dry shampoo in it, it wouldn't look so oily. And why are you wearing stripes? You should be wearing lines. And what would they say to you if you were humble enough to receive it? You know, that attitude makes it seem like you're lost. There's no joy around you. It doesn't even seem like you love the Lord. But you know why we don't do that and why we can't get those things? Because we think we know more than God. And we're proud and we won't receive what He has for us. Why don't we get it? Pride deafens us and pain defeats us. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and it says here, He taught His disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered in the hands of men. They shall kill Him, and after He is killed, He shall rise again the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were what? Afraid to ask Him. You know what it says? It says they disputed by themselves by the way, in verse 33 and 34, who should be the greatest? And then in verse 36, He takes a child and sets them in there. But you know what it says in Matthew 17 and verse 23? It says, And they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Here it says they were afraid. And in that passage, it adds sorrow on top of the fear. They were afraid and they were sorry. Now they've come to the point where they've stopped arguing. They knew that didn't work out well to argue with God. And maybe you've gotten to that point. God's trying to tell you some stuff, and you've stopped arguing with them, but you're afraid to find out what it is. They didn't understand. Why not? It was so simple. Any child could understand it, but they didn't understand it. I mean, what is difficult about that? I'm going to be delivered in the hands of men. They'll kill me. And after I'm killed, I'll be raised again the third day. You know why they did not understand that and they didn't answer for clarification? It has to do with their preconceived ideas. One time Jesus was talking in John chapter 12 and He said this, If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And they said, We've read of Christ in the law and the prophets and we've read that He abides forever. Why are you saying that He has to be lifted up? We don't know what you're talking about. How they understood the law and how they understood the prophets and what their parents had taught them and what they learned at the synagogue is the Messiah was going to come and he was going to sit in the throne and he was going to abide forever. They did not have Isaiah 53 in their mind or Psalm 22 where he was going to die. They didn't understand. They could not compute how Jesus had to die. They didn't get that part. And then rising from the dead, they didn't understand that either. Remember when Jesus came to Martha and he said, "Thy brother shall rise again." And you know what she said to him? "I know he's going to rise again in the last day." You know, the Jews, and they knew about Isaiah's boneyard and all the bones coming together. And one day God would resurrect the whole house of Israel, an exceeding great army. But they did not know about the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus was going to be resurrected for that. They didn't know that. So why didn't they understand? Because of all the preconceived ideas they had. And why didn't they ask him about it? Because it would be too painful to admit that they were wrong. They were afraid to ask. Too painful to admit that they were wrong. You know what? I don't know if you've done this, but I've been witnessing to people, and I said this. If you were wrong, would you want to know? Let me ask you this. If you were wrong about where you were going to go when you die, and you didn't believe in hell and it actually existed, and you couldn't get there by being good but only through Jesus Christ, would you want to know if you were wrong? And you know what they said? No. I wouldn't want to know. You wouldn't. No. You know why I don't want to know? It's too painful. That means too much. That means I've wasted my life. That means I've believed a lie. That means a certain thing about where my ancestors went when they die, and I don't want to know. It's too painful. If your husband was cheating on you or your wife was cheating on you, would you want to know? No, I just wouldn't want to know. I know there's something wrong, but I'm not going to go to the doctor because I just don't want to know. I don't ever check my children's phones because I just don't want to know what they're into. It's too painful. You see, God is trying to tell you guys, and He's trying to tell me, and He's trying to tell the church some things. But sometimes it's too painful. So we're not going to look into it, and we're not going to investigate and find out what the Lord's trying to say, because the implications are too much. You know who got the biggest dose of truth outside of Jesus Christ ever? Solomon. And he said, "I don't know how, and I am a little child." You know what Jesus did to those disciples? He said, "If you're going to know, you have to be like this child." And you know what children are like? They don't argue about who's going to be the greatest, not when they're little. And if they don't understand, are they going to say, "Oh, I'm not going to talk about that because that might make me look stupid"? Or are they going to keep asking? And what if something's emotionally painful? Are they going to stop asking because what the truth might... I remember my youngest son, we were in the house and we saw this bang, and this hawk had come and it grabbed this dove and slammed it against the glass, and there's blood against the glass, and the dove falls down and it's shaking. And Noah, it's his first revelation that the animal kingdom is not how it's portrayed. It's a terrible, a violent thing. And he's like, "What happened to the dove?" And I didn't have the heart to lie to him. I didn't have the heart to lie to him. He wanted to know the truth. And I said, "The hawk came down and he put his claws in and he killed it because he wanted to eat it because he was hungry." And he kept asking questions with tears running down his eyes because he wanted to know the truth. Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know what God is trying to show you? Or is the pain defeating you? And are you running away because it's just too painful? That's why we don't hear. They were filled with sorrow, and they were exceeding sorry. And they didn't, listen, you know why they were sorry? They were holding on to a half-truth. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to raise again. They didn't know what that meant. They were holding on to a half-truth. Listen, the front side of truth always hurts. But the back side of it doesn't. The front side where God shows you something about yourself that is so awful, that's painful. But on the other side, man, there's joy evermore. On the other side of that truth is they're going to kill me, but that's not going to stop me. They're going to put me in the grave, but I'm going to come back up. And what happens there means that they will never stop you. And maybe there's some time that goes by, but one day you will be sitting on that throne and there's nothing that man can do to stop you. That's on the other side of the truth. And they were filled with sorrow. Every truth that God has ever given you has been painful at first, but on the other side of it, oh, there was joy, there was growth, and there was life evermore. Isn't that true? Face the pain. Run into the wind. Go. Run towards the roar. Like Benaiah, the lion in the pit on a snowy day. And he ran into it. And he killed him. And that was his greatest opportunity. Rip the Band-Aid off. Face your fears. Ask the questions you fear the most. You know one question that gave me the most confidence ever to stand behind a pulpit? How do I know this is real and I'm not just believing what my parents told me? How do I know that I am right and everybody else is wrong? And for years I was scared to look into that question. But when I pulled that question open, man, I got the greatest confidence ever, because this is not blind faith. It's proven to be true. Listen, ask the questions. The answers will help you with the part that's causing you trouble. The part they didn't understand was causing them trouble. And then the last thing that we have, why didn't they hear? Well, pride deafened them, and pain defeated them. And then sometimes position defiles us. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because Jesus said in the next verse, we're going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. Since Lazarus was raised from the dead, they knew what it would mean to go to Jerusalem. They knew what that meant. And so they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took the 12 and he began to tell them what things should happen. This is again. You know what Jesus has been doing? He's been trying to get them to get it. He's been trying to get them to hear. They didn't hear it the first time because of pride and savoring the things of men. They didn't hear it the second time because they just didn't understand and they had that fear. They were afraid and sorrowful. And they didn't hear it this time either. Look, he says in verse 33, we go up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, verse 34, and scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Did they finally get it? Nope. They're still holding out. They still haven't learned and accepted the truth. They think maybe there's still a chance. I mean, I know she's dating another guy, And I know that they're engaged. And I know from the outside it looks like they're in love, but maybe he'll die and she'll see me at the funeral and realize it was me the whole time. I mean, maybe she is still the right one. No. They're not getting it. They're holding out. How do I know they didn't get it? Look at verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Man, I just think about that, and I'm like, Jesus, yes, what is it? I want you to do for me whatever I want. What? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that incredible? Didn't he say, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you? They were testing this out. But then look what they asked for. He said, grant us that we may sit on the one on thy right hand and the other of thy left hand in glory. You know what they're still doing? They're still jockeying for a position. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Like, can you have what happens to me happen to you? They're like, yeah. He's like, you will, but to sit on my right hand and my left hand, that's not mine to give. It's given to whom it is prepared. That's not how leadership works. And my kingdom. That's not how it comes. And he says they were displeased and they began to grumble. And he said, if you want to be great, you have to minister and you have to be a servant. Because they were trying to, listen, maintain a position. They didn't understand it because they were trying to get or protect a position. And I'm going to tell you something, and you know what somebody that sits on a throne doesn't say? I don't know. I don't know. I haven't figured this out. I need help. That doesn't sound like somebody that's sitting on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus, does it? I mean, those people have it figured out. You know why I'm not going to ask you? Because I'm looking for a position, and that has defiled me, and now I can't hear because of what I'm trying to get and what I'm trying to maintain and what I'm trying to protect. I'm more interested in where I'm going and my ambitions than what Christ is trying to show me. You know, the way Christ works is you gain by losing. It's honor through humility. It's position through serving. It's a cross before a crown. It's suffering before reigning. If I admit that, my house of cards might fall. It's going to fall anyway. I was at a men's retreat one time, and there was a very intelligent man that's sitting there. And that's not me. You know, I struggle with being proud of I don't know. Okay? Well, I don't know. Ask someone else. I don't know, and I don't want... I'm like the preacher in Tennessee who's like, bless God, amen. He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the eyes. And I want to say I'm an ignorant man. And every day I'm getting more ignorant. Like, that's it. That's kind of me, Rita. But they're having this philosophical, lofty conversation. And they're like, you've read that book, right? I mean, you're a pastor. You've read that book, The Animal Farm. And you know about the politics there. I'm like, oh yeah, I've read that. Sure. Sure. And you know all I got out of that? He might think I read the book. He probably doesn't. So he either thinks I read the book or he knows that I'm a liar. One of the two. That's all I got out of that. I don't know what they were talking about. Jesus is trying to tell you something. Yeah, but if I say I don't understand that, I mean, I've been in this church for 7 years, and I mean, I do things, and people give me honor and respect, and to admit that I don't know that,
what are they talking about? I don't know. Well, I'm a pastor. I can't admit that I don't know. I mean, what will people think if the pastor said he didn't know? I'm a pastor's wife. I teach Sunday school and I do music. I mean, what? I'm a deacon. I'm a trustee. Listen, do you want what God's trying to teach you? Do you want to get it? You know what the Lord wants to hear? You know, I love the stories that God puts in the Bible, and they show you His heart. And one of my favorite stories is the prodigal son, because that's what God's using to show you His heart. And you know what my favorite part of that story is, and I think God's favorite part of that story is? He came to Himself, and He said, "How many hired servants of my father's, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven and against thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but just make me as one of thy hired servants." And what a beautiful thing. You know, one of my favorite verses is Peter denies and then he hears the cock crow. And while he thought on these things, he's hearing later. He's thinking about what God says, and then he hears the cock crow. And it says he went out and wept bitterly. You know, my favorite thing as a father, "Dad, I'm wrong." You know, my favorite thing is as a husband. No, I'm not going to go there. You know what God's looking for? I don't know. I need some information. I don't know. What's the answer? He said in John chapter 16, he said this, "Because I tell you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you because it's expedient for me to go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come." He said, "It's good for you that I go away. I tell you these things, you're sorry, but you don't understand. It's expedient. It's good for you. It has to be this way." And then he says, "You're going to have sorrow, but it's going to be like a woman that has a child. She's going to have sorrow for a while, then she's going to have no more sorrow because the child has come into the world. You're going to have sorrow, but I see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and then no one will take your joy." If you hear, listen, we're closing. If you hear, it's going to be expedient. It's going to be good for you. If you hear the truth, it's going to be good for you. If you hear, you'll be filled with the Spirit. You can come. You'll be filled with the Spirit. Right? The Spirit will have more control of your life because you'll allow Him to, because you admit, and the Comforter will come. And if you hear, your joy will increase. Now, all I'm trying to get you to do is listen to what God is trying to teach me. What is God trying to tell me? What is He trying to teach me? Is there something He's been trying to tell me, but I just won't hear? Do you have ears to hear? And I want you to start to listen. If you don't understand, put the pride aside, put the pain aside, put the position aside, and ask questions, and don't let the fear stop you. Find out what God is trying to tell you no matter what. And I'm not looking for an altar call today. I'm not looking for this too. I want you to meditate on this. And I want it to become louder in the days and the weeks and the years to come. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. What is God telling me? What is He telling you? And what is He telling us? Amen? All right. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed for a word of prayer. Lord, I come before You.
And I want to thank you so much for this truth that you've given me, this principle. And God, I pray that you would, Lord, we would hear you and your voice would become louder and louder, Father. And I know God's trying to tell people things today. And he's trying to tell people things in the days and weeks, and he's constantly trying to tell us things, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your hymnals, turn to page number 276. We'll sing just the first verse, "Where He Leads Me."
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
You may be seated.
You know, the pastor says, ears to hear, you know, and ask that question. Have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they're just not hearing you? My son and I look at each other like, he's talking about you. No, he's talking about you. My daughter's like, he's talking about both of y'all. So, all right, just a few announcements this morning. First, ladies' Bible study is going to be on the 21st at 9 a.m. at the Jurgen home. If you go onto the app, there's a question on there that is trying to get you to think about some things and meditate on it, and then bring that answer with you to the meeting, and it'll be part of the discussion. So, ladies, if you're going to go to the Bible study, check out the app and see what else is going on. The missions conference is coming up again, September the 29th through October the 2nd. We'll be meeting at 6:30 here in the church most of those nights. And then there's a meet and greet on the 29th and a meet and greet again on the 2nd before each of those services. So we have a lot of good speakers. And again, you can go to the website and see more about that. And Brother Cruz is going to tell us a few things about the men's retreat.
Thanks, sir. All right. So... as far as the men's retreat itself, I'm your point of contact. I'm your POC. My name is Eric Cruz. I wanted to give you guys a heads up. It's less than a month away. Currently, there's only 40 beds at the location that we're going to be at, and we're actually hosting three churches. So as of right now, at this moment in time, we're only allowing those that are 18 years or older. But in about a week or two prior to the actual retreat, if there are still beds open, I'll make sure to announce it to the church. And if you want to sign up your teens, to go along with you, that opportunity will be there. It's $20 per day. I know it says that it's $60, but it is $20 per day starting the 10th of October, Thursday night, all the way through 12th of October, Saturday morning. It's at the HEB camp. You need to sign up today. It's been discussed, it's been talked about, so I know some of you guys are trying to figure out if you're going to go or not. But today, you guys need to sign up. Sign up today. Sign up tonight. You definitely need to sign up today, especially in regards to your shirt sizes and things like that. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. I know that we've been talking about signing up online, but I did put some sign-up sheets in the back for you guys to fill out. For those that actually already signed up online, I have your names already on the sign-up sheet. If you want to go back there and check to make sure that it's on there, you can go ahead and check. Also, I need this information soon because I need to know how much food to get. There's a lot of dudes, and there's going to be a lot of food. So consider if you need financial assistance, for some reason you're unable to pay for the $60 for the $20 a day, there's a spot on the sign-up sheet in the back to mark that. Let us know, and we'll go ahead and try to help you out. Also, if you have any dietary restrictions, that we need to know that as well. And for those that I already told you, for those that signed up. So we need you to sign up. Again, if there's still beds available within a week or two prior to the event, I'll make sure to let you guys know. So with that said, let's go ahead and stand and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the message that you've given us, Heavenly Father. Father, I pray that we have ears to hear the word that you've given us, Lord. The messages that you've given your servant, Pastor Bez, Father. I pray, Lord God, that we hear it, we apply it, we use it, Father, for your honor and glory. I pray, Lord God, that you bring us back tonight. Keep everyone safe. Bring us back safely, Father. I praise you. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.